Book of Ezra, chapter 8, starting from verse 1. I'll be waiting until this all genealogy is finished. So quietly we'll listen. And if there is anything I would like to say in between, we'll stop. Okay, go ahead.
These are now the chief of their fathers, and this is the genealogy of them that went up with me from Babylon in the reign of Artaxerxes the king. Of the sons of Phinehas, Gershom. Of the sons of Ithamar, Daniel. Of the sons of David, Hattush. Of the sons of Shechaniah, of the sons of Pharosh, Zechariah, and with him were reckoned by genealogy of the males 150. Of the sons of Pahath Moab, Eliohanai, the son of Zerahiah, and with him 200 males. Of the sons of Shechaniah, the son of Jehaziel, and with him 300 males. Of the sons also of Aden, Ebed, the son of Jonathan, and with him 50 males. And of the sons of Elam, Jeshaiah, the son of Athaliah, and with him 70 males. And of the sons of Shephatiah, Zebediah, the son of Michael, and with him 80 males. Of the sons of Joab, Obadiah, the son of Jehiel, and with him 218 males. And of the sons of Shelomith, the son of Josephiah, and with him 103 males. And of the sons of Bebai, Zechariah, the son of Bebai, and with him 28 males. And of the sons of Azgad, Johanan, the son of Hakatan, and with him 110 males. And of the last sons of Adonikam, whose names are these, Eliphelet, Jael, and Shemaiah, and with them 80 males. Of the sons also of Bigvai, Uthai, and Zabud, and with them 70 males. And I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava. And there abode we in tents 3 days, and I viewed the people and the priests, and found there none of the sons of Levi.
Now, here we see, in the beginning he says, all the chiefs, fathers, and then their relatives, and everyone who were living in this Babylon. And he says, now they are coming with Ezra. As you know, the great king was Cyrus. And Cyrus gave the decree, if anybody wants to go, go to your land, help the build the temple, and they start going. After that, Darius the king said, you want to go? Go. And they start going. And now this king, Artaxerxes, he says, go. And not only going, but he gave a lot of money, silver and gold and vessels and everything. And now these people are going. And when they're coming, they stopped at the river. Now this river and this other Euphrates rivers are two different rivers, but this might be a small river. They want to camp there. They want to rest there. Why? Because they have children, wives, and family members. And so they thought, you know, we cannot drag everybody going without a rest. So they wanted to rest there and count the people and everybody there with us or not. And they are looking, and some people are missing. Now, when you see in the olden days, priests, they have different garments. You can identify them. Today, some of the priests, they have different color. And looking at them, oh, maybe he's a priest, or he might be a Catholic priest or something like that. You can identify right away and find out. Not only that, there was a rule when they taking the tabernacle and going from one place to another place and pitch another place, then all the Levites will be front. And there should be 2,000 feet gap. And then all the Israeli people will follow. And that was the rule. But now when he came here, he says he could not find Levites. He thought maybe they didn't come. And they would have counted them before they left. And they would have said, okay, this is the order and this is the way we are going to marching. This is the way we are going to go. But they did not organize. And when they come here, and then Ezra got a little bit scared and a little bit worried. I don't see Levites. And the Levites, I don't know why they were not taking the parts with Ezra. Ezra is a Levite. He is in the family of Aaron. And he is a scribe, and we learned about him last week. He was very famous, and that's why he talk to the king and convince the king that we need certain items and we want to go. And king was very fond of him. And so he did not organize that my people should be with me. So he might be just hurriedly coming, and then he's seeing his people are not with him. Then he was a little bit concerned. So then he sent some people, give the commandment, I want those people to be coming here. Why he wants Levites now? You already heard the Levites are the one who are leading, worshiping leaders. And so they should be there. But that was not the only reason why he was saying, I want to find the Levites. The Levites are godly people. They are chosen to serve the Lord. And they are honest people because they are sanctified and separated for the work of God. So he can depend on those people much more than any ordinary people. So he was looking for those people. Finally, the word of God says he found them. Let's read the verse 16.
Then sent I for Eliezer, for Ariel, for Shemaiah, and for Elnathan, and for Jarib, and for Elnathan, and for Nathan, and for Zechariah, and for Meshulam, chief men, also for Joiarib, and for Elnathan, men of understanding. And I sent them with commandment unto Iddo, the chief of the place Casiphia, and I told them what they should say unto Iddo, and to his brethren the Nethinims at the place Casiphia, that they should bring unto us ministers for the house of our God.
Now they got Levites, but at the same time say, we got Levites, but we need more people. Now the Nethinim, we learned last week, if you remember, those are the people, they are not Levites, they are not Israelites. Some of them are mixed marriage, and some of them were chosen by David to do the works, hard work, cutting the woods, bringing the water, and hard-working people. So they wanted those people also. And they found out over 200 people they gathered, and the other Levites. Now they gathered together, and now they are going to say, what kind of job you are going to do? And he said, we got a very wise people. And so God provided whatever the Ezra wanted in this kind of desert place. And finding the people is difficult. You might be thinking, how many people were there? If you really count, they were almost over 75 or 74,000 people. Husband, wife, children, and these workers and everybody, if you count, they were almost 75,000 people. We cannot find sometime within 10 people, one person we want to look for it. So our 75,000 people, and you're looking for a dozen people, he actually wanted to, we counted 24 people he wanted to do the job. And he found these Levites, he divided like a 12 people and then his 10 brethren and all these people who can do the hard work. And he wanted to tell them what are the job you're going to do and organize everything before they can go. Let's read verse 18.
And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, of the sons of Mahlai, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah with his sons and his brethren, 18. And Hashabiah, and with him Jeshaiah of the sons of Merari, his brethren and their sons, 20. Also of the Nethinims, whom David and the princes had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethinims, all of them were expressed by name. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us, and for our little ones, and for all our substance.
Now, he gathered all the people, and then he's telling everybody, you know what? We have to journey to go, and all around when you're going, there will be enemies. Some people always, they are some kind of mob of people, hiding on the highways and looking for some kind of people who are traveling and kill them and take their money. It's not today's thing. It's happening from the beginning. Evil people are always there and they want to loot the people, take the money, kill the people and doing all kinds of things. You remember in a time of Jesus, he gave the example of Good Samaritan. Point I'm making These kind of evil people were always there without working for your own money. And so Ezra knew that this kind of traveling, many people are there and danger is there, and we have problem. Because not only we are men, but we have our wives and our children. Not only that, we have thousands and thousands of dollars, silver and gold and all kinds of the substance we have. So we need God's help. Without God's help, you cannot do it. So he convinced everybody, hey, let's fast. Humble ourselves. We don't have to say we have lots of money and money will protect us. Money is not the answer. These people would have said, hey, we have billions of dollars and silver and gold. If somebody comes, hey, give some money and go away. But if they say, no, this is God's money. We cannot waste this money. We want to protect this money. We want to protect our wives. We want to protect our children. So only way we can do, pray to God. And God will come to rescue. So sometimes people have the money, they say, oh, we can have security guards. We can have some people doing some work for us. But as I learned, no security guard can work for you. If God is not with you, they can kill you and take your money. The people are keeping the security guard for the bank, and those are the people robbing the banks. No protection without God. God is our source. God is our protection. We should humble ourselves and say, Lord, whatever I have is yours. The word of God says, if God is not watching the city, the watchman's watching is in vain. If God is not building your house, the builder's building is in vain. We need God. We need God in our journey. We are travelers, and we are traveling, and our right place is heaven. So many obstacles will come to pull you down, to destroy you. But the word of God says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. When we're looking unto Jesus, we don't care who is coming behind us, side of us. We follow Christ and he will protect us. So these people got the right idea, and everybody agreed. They didn't say, why didn't you fast before we left? Now in the jungle, we are here, we're traveling, we're tired and hungry. We want to eat something, and that's the time you said fast. And some people don't like fasting. They said fasting is, you know, a trouble. And some people fast, and that's the time they fight. Because empty stomach, you get more angry because there's nothing going here. And so you get angry, and the fasting time people fight more. So God says, what kind of fast are you going to do? If you're doing fasting, then you think about God and read the Bible and pray. But I'll tell you, the day you'll say, I'm going to fast Monday, somebody will call you, some disaster will come, and you will be not able to fast. You will be not able to pray. So these are the enemy's trick. But I'm surprised, not a single person, wife or the children, said, hey, Daddy, hey, Ezra, are you crazy? We are not going to fast here. Let's go to the Jerusalem in our own home. Then we can fast. If you start fasting and your reason is the enemy will come and attack us. Now we are strong. If we fast, we will be sick. We will be very weak. How can we fight the enemy then? You remember that Saul told his people, nobody should eat anything until we defeat our enemies. And everybody was fasting. Jonathan didn't know. Jonathan was hungry and he was fasting. But when he came where there was a honey, he dipped his stick in the honey and put it in his mouth. And he said, wow, my eyes lighten, brighten, and I feel good. And somebody said to him, do you know your father told anybody eats, they will be killed. The punishment was death. And so he said, I didn't know. And somebody said, to his father. He said, father says Jonathan should be killed. And everybody said, you cannot allow him. He's the warrior. And somehow they intervene and Jonathan's life was saved. The point I'm making, sometimes people think when you are hungry and you're weak, how are you going to fight? It's a natural thing. If you want to fight, you need a physical strength. You cannot fast 3 days or 4 days and then go to war. But this Ezra knew something. Ezra knew we are going to fast. We are going to humble ourselves. We are going to say, Lord, we have 75,000 people here. If 10 people come, they have no match. We can kill them. We can destroy them. And there are Nethinim, over 200 people. They are good warriors. They are strong people. They cut the woods. They get the water. They are strong built people. Wrestlers and boxers are with us. So we'll send them first. Not 200 people are going to come to destroy us. Maybe people ambushed there for 10, 20 people or something like that. We'll take care of them. So we don't want to worry. But he was thinking, we have to seek the God. We want to say, Lord, we are in the jungle right now. We don't know which way to go. Give the safest way to travel. We want to go in safety. We want to be, we need your protection. And I don't want to lose my children, wives, all the money we have. So we'll pray. And they said another reason we were praying, we were bragging about our God to the king. Our God is a great God. Our God fights for us. Our God cares for us. Our God is a good God. And he only defeats and destroys the people who do not obey him or go astray or backslidden people. But he always loves his people. And he's not going to allow the enemy to defeat us. Our God is a good God. And so he said, then the king said, okay, whatever you want, take it. The money, the treasure, and everything what you need for traveling. And but he said, if I would have asked the king, you know what? I have little babies, my wives, my children, and we have so many animals. We're taking them for sacrifice. We need some army. We need some guards. They can come and guide us, and so we will be safe. But he says, because we were talking so much good about our God, I was embarrassed. I was ashamed to ask the king, give us some army to protect us. That's the same way. If you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and he is your Savior, he is your provider, and he keeps you from all kinds of dangers and harms, and if you trust that Jesus, then you don't have to worry about anybody. I believe when I say Jesus Christ is my Savior, he's my healer, he's my protector, and a little bit sneezing comes, I say, oh, I'm catching a cold, let's go and check out what the doctor says about my lungs. That will be not so faithful. That will be not depending on God. So the same thing that Ezra is saying, if I believe my God is going to protect me, why should I call a king to give his army? Same way, if you believe our God is a healer, why should we call doctor? Some people say, but this is very complicated. Don't you think our God knows all complications? He knows everything. But our peanut brain tries to scare you, and he says, this kind of sickness will not be healed without the surgery. This sickness will not be healed without a chemotherapy. This sickness will not be healed without a medicine. And this is kind of things we learn from our childhood because we are growing with the unsaved people. But if you grow with the godly people and how they live, then you learn that if this man can live without a medicine and without doctor, I can live. My children, they were small. We gave them the medicine. We took them to doctor, we give them the checkup, we did everything. We never kept our children not taking to the doctor. There are some people don't take their children to doctor, and now the government says you have to go to jail. We knew the law of the land. And so we took care of our children. When they became 18, we stopped taking to the hospital. Now I said, now you have to use your faith. Ask Philip, do you go to doctor? No. Did we force him not to go? No. He learned. If God can protect my father, he can protect me. And he learned not to take medicine. My wife, she's a nurse. When she used to work, if she doesn't take a medicine, they will not give her a day off. They will say, what doctor you went and where did you have a prescription? Because some people can stay home and they are not sick. They want to know that if you're sick, what treatment you took. Then only they will give you sick leave or pay. So my wife used to do. She used to go for checkup. They will give her medicine. She will put the medicine in the refrigerator, and that medicine will be there for 3 years. And finally, we throw it out. So she never took medicine. Very hardly she will take. But now, she doesn't have a job. She's retired. She doesn't go to doctor, doesn't go to dentist. She doesn't take a medicine because she learned. If God can heal my husband, my son, and he healed me many, many times, why should I frustrate myself and go to doctor and get into trouble? Because doctor do not know everything. I will trust my God. If my life is shortened because of sickness, and if I die, I would say heaven is better. Amen. Why am I living in this filthy earth for no reason? And if I'm living, I said, Lord, if I'm living, I want to preach the gospel. I want to give the word. I want to live for you. And I'm praying. I don't want to be sick and afflicted and people serving me. I said, Lord, take me home. I do not want other people suffering because of me. And so that's my prayer. I do not want to live in this world as a vegetable. I don't worry about dragging my life for a long time. I'm waiting for Christ to come. And if he takes me today, I'll be happy. But I'm not praying, Lord, take me. That will be so selfish. Because St. Paul says, I'm going to stay. Amen. I'm going to preach. It is better for me to go to heaven, but I've decided to stay with you and suffer for Christ's sake. So the point I'm making, Ezra was not afraid that why I didn't ask the king. He, humanly way, he was thinking, if I would have asked the king, he would have given to me. Did I make a mistake? No, I was bragging about God. If that's the way it is, our God will come to our rescue. Sometime when you testify, one time I was saying, my God is good. I was a believer. That time I was not even in the ministry. And I said, if I get sick, I will never go to the doctor. Just I said. And the same day, I got a high fever. For no reason. I thought the enemy was testing me. I just said, if I get sick, I will never go to the hospital. I never went to hospital since I got saved. But when I got very high fever, my dad went, and there was a Pentecostal brother. He went to talk to him, but he was a backslider. He was speaking in tongue, but he was living in sin. So my dad said, I told that brother, and he's praying for me. I said, his prayer is not going to work. I'm very, very sick. I could not lift up one paper in my hand. And so here comes one Christian brother. And he was a salesperson, and he was walking selling something. He had some kind of basket on his head and the item on his hand. Poor man. But he didn't know my language. I knew a little bit his language. And so he said, Brother Peter, what happened? It's at noontime, I have high fever. He put his basket, he said, let's pray. And he started praying. And as he was praying, my spirit can start thinking, yet this prayer will work. And as soon as he said, Amen, I start sweating. And all this sweat came And when I touched my body, I scoped. All the fever went. I said, Mommy, give me some food to eat. She said, You cannot eat. You have so high fever. I said, My fever is gone. The point I'm making, the devil will come to test you right away. If you say, I'm not going to take a medicine this time when I get sick. And when you get so much sick, he said, Oh, okay, now this time I'm going to take it. Next time I will not. Point I'm making, I'm not telling you if you take a medicine, you are an unbeliever or you're going to go to hell or this and that. No. I'm telling you, you have to develop your faith. You have to say, My God is greater than any doctor, any medicine, and any surgery. And that's the way you have to believe that. This man believed, My God will protect me from all the enemies and the people who are hiding. I cannot see, but God sees. What the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13 says. He says, there is nothing hidden from his eyes. Everything open and naked to his eyes. Our God never sleeps. Never slumbers. So he's watching us. We are worried. We don't see any enemy. But God sees. There's something, somebody behind me, I would not know. But God knows. One day I was preaching and one person went behind me. And there was a haystack. And he got a knife in his hand. And he was going to come and stab me from the back. But I had a habit. But now I'm not moving from here to there because microphone is here. But in India, I used to walk around here, there, and everywhere. As soon as I moved, this man came running, fell in front of me, having a knife in his hand. Now he thought, Pastor Peter is going to beat me up. He ran for his life. Point I'm making, somebody in behind you, you didn't know, but God knew. And God protected me. So these people had a fast. Let's pray that God will protect us. Did God hear their prayer? Let's read. Verse 22.
For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us.
See, he said that because of this, we prayed, God heard our prayer. How does he know God heard his prayer? Because they didn't start the journey yet. But when they prayed and fasted and prayed, he got a faith. Hey, God heard our prayer. We got a protection. No enemy is going to come and attack us. Because God heard our prayer. Sometimes you pray for something. You say, Lord, I need a job. And you pray. And after prayer, says, I don't think I'm going to get that job. Why did you pray for it? When you pray for something, you believe that you receive it, and then you will have it. Same way, any subject you pray, and after prayer you say, I don't think God heard my prayer, and I don't think he's going to work. Then your prayer went in the, wind. Nothing. Pastors, they go and pray for some sick person, and they come out and say, Pastor, what do you think? There's no hope. This person is going to die. Then why did you pray? I say in the last second, if somebody asks, what's going to happen? I gave that case in the hand of God, and God knows better, and I believe God can do miracle if that person gives his life to God. I will talk that God can do great things. So this man prayed, thousands of people prayed. He said God heard our prayer, and God rescued us. He believed, whatever you believe, that's what you're going to get. Verse 24.
Then I separated 12 of the chief of the priests, Sherebiah, Hashabiah, and 10 of their brethren with them, and weighed unto them the silver and the gold and the vessels, even the offering of the house of our God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel there present had offered. I even weighed unto their hand 650 talents of silver, and silver vessels 100 talents, and of gold 100 talents. Also 20 basins of gold, of 1,000 drams, and 2 vessels of fine copper, precious as gold. And I said unto them, Ye are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of your fathers.
So point I'm making now, almost a dozen or two people are there, and they're all Levites. And they are all very dedicated people of God. And now he said, all these things they counted, how many talents of silver and gold and precious things and everything, they gave it to those people. And he said, listen, you know why we're giving to you? Because you are a holy people of God. And these things are holy. We cannot give these holy things to somebody else. So what he was trying to say, you are responsible. You are going to take care of this thing. That's why I'm giving to you. When you give some money to somebody to hold it, some people say, okay, give me $1,000, I'll keep it for you. And the next day you ask, I'll spend it. I'll give maybe next month. I didn't know that you wanted this early. So this is what the people do. But the people who you trust, trustworthy people, they will never do that. They will never take your money. So here, he's saying, all this money, we counted. All these articles, we counted. And everybody watched while we're giving to you. Why are we giving to you? Because you are a holy man of God. And these items I'm giving you, these are the holy items. And what? He says, your forefathers served the Lord and they were faithful. So we believe that your forefathers, God, is watching. I'm giving to you. And so they all gave the money, believing these people will be faithful and they will take care of it. And so he trusted those people and gave them the warning. You know what? We will count this money when we go to Jerusalem. So be careful. Watch over this money. Take care of this money. Don't spend it. Keep it. Okay? And see what happens. Verse 29.
Watch ye and keep them until ye weigh them before the chief of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers of Israel at Jerusalem in the chambers of the house of the Lord. So took the priests and the Levites the weight of the silver and the gold and the vessels to bring them to Jerusalem unto the house of our God. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go into Jerusalem, and the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way.
He said, we departed from there, now we were secure, we know this money is going to go nowhere. And he says, we could not find anyone. Means, they might be hiding somewhere, just like they were hiding that sense. We said, you know what, those people were looking for us, but they are blinded, they are not going to look at us, they are going to look other way around. And they will say, see that troops coming, and they can attack us. But they are not attacking us, they are going another way. He said, God really protected us. And how does he know? Because he knew, God showed him, these are the people who are going to attack you, but I put them away. I let them go a different way, and they did not attack you. It was very easy to attack these people because you have babies and children and everybody with you. But he said, God protected us from the way the people were waiting to kill us, but they could not do anything. See, God will protect you. You know that Sodom and Gomorrah? Those people said, you don't allow those two people, I will take you and I will destroy you. No. Lord says, take my two daughters. No, we don't want daughters. We want men. So we will destroy you. What God did? Angel said, okay, I'm going to make them blind. All thousands of people, they could not touch Lot, his daughters, angels, or his wife. And they came out of those people. So the point I'm making, you don't have to be afraid of people. Sometimes, you know, some person is loose from the jail. Everybody say, watch out your doors and windows and this. Everybody's afraid. I said, well, let's pray. Father, protect us from all these enemies. And that's all. Hurricane comes, stand there and say, Lord, let it go other way. I'm not bragging about this, but I got experience. Children say, Daddy, let's go to the zoo, and the pouring rain. I said, well, how are you going to go? I said, well, God will stop the rain when we'll be there. And when we went there, we prayed. As soon as we're coming out of the car, rain stops, and nice and cool weather. When we finish from there, we come, and I said, now, let's pray that before we get into the house, rain should not be there. And when we come, open the car, get into the house, rain start pouring. The point I'm making, this is not the one time. We did this prayer for many, 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 many times. And God heard our prayer. And so I have confidence that if I pray, God will hear. Other day, there was a Northeast High School, open ground. There was some kind of meeting, Christian meeting. And the man invited me. And the forecast was rain. And the raining already. And so I called the brother and I said, are you going to close this because of rain? He said, no, rain or sunshine, we are going to do it. Are you coming? I said, yes, I'm going to come and we're going to pray. I went there, at that time was pouring rain. I went there and prayed to stop the rain. And rain stopped. We had a good service. And when the service is over, we came home. Rain started coming again. The point I'm making, we have to trust in God. God comes to rescue us. He will protect us. He will supply our needs. Our eyes should be on the Lord. So he's saying, he's thanking God. He's saying, you know what? God heard our prayer. And we are safe from the enemies. And now we are in our town. We are safe in Jerusalem. And see what he does. Oh, verse 32.
And we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days.
Now they came. They are tired, they are weary, and they are saying, we are going to stay in Jerusalem now 3 days. Now somebody saying, hey, Ezra, do you know you gave the money to these people, hundreds and thousands of dollars worth? Somebody can take it from them. Now we are here 3 days, resting. And you didn't check on that money yet? But he didn't care. He said, I know the money is in good hands. Those people are not going to do any harm. So 3 days, nobody talked about money. Nobody talked about gold. Nobody talked about silver because they had peace. That's what you should know, that we should not be worried about money, worry about our needs. We just put it in the hand of God and relax. You be faithful. Say, Lord, if you give money, I'll do your will. And so the point I'm making, they have nothing to worry. And where the silver and gold is, 3 days passed. What happens? Let's read verse 33.
Now on the fourth day was the silver and the gold and the vessels weighed in the house of our God by the hand of Meremoth, the son of Uriah the priest. And with him was Eleazar, the son of Phinehas, and with them was Jozabad, the son of Jeshua, and Noadiah, the son of Binui, Levites. By number and by weight of every one, and all the weight was written at that time.
You remember? Ezra said, I'm giving this all the silver and gold. When we go to Jerusalem, then we are going to count it. So what he's trying to say, I don't want anything be missing. And when they counted, not a single penny was missing. Thousands of silver and gold and all kinds of vessels and gold vessels and even the brass vessel, not a single thing was lost. Somebody didn't say, hey, we are not going to take gold. Let's take a little bit brass. 3 days or this many days we counted and they are not going to give us anything out of this. Not a single person got anything out of it. And they counted and they said, everything is perfect. That's the kind of Christian life we should be living. We're living for God. And all the money what you have is belong to God. Once you believe that, then you have peace. Money is not going to go anywhere. But the people, they make lots of money, and there is a hole in the pocket. The money comes, money goes. Because they are not able to save a penny. Why? Because they have habit. When you go for shopping, even though they don't need things. This is good. This is good. And they buy so many clothes and so many dresses and they don't even wear. At the day, one lady gave some clothes and they have, what do you call, the tag. And the lady never wore those clothes. The point I'm making, God has given us everything. Use it for His glory. If you don't need anything, don't buy it. If you buy, then you don't have any money. So here the word of God is saying, these people were faithful. They didn't take anything. They did everything according to the will of God. And Ezra was happy. Thank God these people are honest. Verse 35.
Also the children of those that had been carried away, which were come out of the captivity, offered burnt offerings unto the God of Israel, 12 bullocks for all Israel, 90 and 6 rams, 70 and 7 lambs, 12 he-goats for a sin offering. All this was a burnt offering unto the Lord.
When they have feast, they got more than enough meat and more than enough food, and they got like a burnt offering, like a sweet savor coming to God. And God was pleased. These people said, thank God. Not only that we came out of the captivity, but nobody destroyed us on the way. So we should be thankful. Give offering to God. Give praises to God. Give thanks to God what God is doing. So many times God does so many things. We are not thankful. I tell people, if God heals you, what are you going to do? If you go to church, you pray, read the Bible, testify, tell somebody, then God will heal you faster. But somebody says, well, pray for me, my foot is crooked. What are you going to do? As soon as my foot is good, I'm going to dance. Dance for what? Well, dance for God. I said, no. God did not make your foot to dance for God. What the Bible says, when you preach the gospel, your feet will be beautiful. I'll make your feet like a hind's feet. For what? Preaching the gospel. He never said, if you dance, I'll make your feet like hind's feet too. You can jump. No. God has given us healthy feet to preach the gospel, go to places and talk about God. And so I do not pray for somebody who wants to dance with that foot. If somebody comes, you know, I have this problem in my foot. What you do? You dance? I'm not praying. You make a decision. I'm not going to dance anymore. I will pray for your foot. The point I'm making, God has given all these organs for His glory. Somebody said, why go and dance in the church? You go to church to listen to the word of God. You go to church to glorify God. You want to dance? You dance wherever you are. Don't come to the pulpit to dance. One lady came to our church and she has 3 little children. She comes and says, Pastor Peter, my children are going to sing. I say, okay. And they start singing and then they start dancing. I could not discourage those children because mommy is telling, so they are doing it. And so after that finishes, I say, sister, this is the last time you told your children to dance in this church. Because this church is not for dancing. This church is for listening to the word of God. She left. She took her children and left. What happened? Today, daughters, we were dancing. One got married to Hindu, and one married and divorced, and no going to church and dancing for the Lord anymore. The point I'm making, once you are a born-again child of God, train your children in the Lord. There was another child. They called me for the birthday party, and here is dancing like a Michael Jackson. I said, why is dancing? I came here for prayer. Oh, he's the future Michael Jackson. And put a Michael Jackson tape and dancing. Finally, I got fed up, and without praying, I left the house. And those people were saying, oh, Pastor Peter, we invited for prayer and he didn't pray. What happened? I said one thing and I left. I said, listen, your child is dancing today. The day will come, your child will not be able to dance. He was 4 years old. When he was 7 years old, he got meningitis. And he paralyzed west down. Now the mother didn't know what to do. She said, somebody else, oh, tell Pastor Peter to pray for my son. And that person called. I said, why are you calling? Doesn't she know my address? Doesn't she know our church? Doesn't she know our telephone number? Tell her if she needs, call. Then she calls. Myself and my wife, we went. We gave 2 hours of Bible study. Laid hand on that child. Today, the boy is like a 25 years old. Wrestler like. Walking, I met in the supermarket 3 years ago. Oh, Pastor Peter, this is the boy you prayed. And now see, you prayed and he's healed. And I was bringing it to church. I will someday. But you should be telling your children, God healed you, go to church. God gave you a job, go to church. God gave you a husband or wife, go to church. Tell somebody what God has done. And so these people did sacrifice, not a one, hundreds of animals they sacrificed. And they were not only give to God, God gives back to you. When they do sacrifice, that kind of food you eat, it's a feast. And they were be happy, and they were eating and glorifying God. Last verse, verse 36.
And they delivered the king's commissions unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors on this side the river, and they furthered the people and the house of God.
When he was going, Ezra, the king said to him, tell the people other side of the river, the people are fighting with you, trying to stop your work. Educate them, train them, tell them about God. And this was the king's command. So he said, I did according what king said. That means he was trying to tell these people, you have to obey God. You have to obey our king. And you have to help us to build our temple. And the word of God says, they did it. If you remember, Cyrus said a letter, if anyone goes against the work of God, take the beam out of his house and crucify him on the beam and make his house is a dunghill. And so those people are scared. Now see, Cyrus the king, God inspired. Darius the king, God inspired. Artaxerxes the king, God inspired. 3 heathen kings helping the children of Israel. So we have to be thankful. We have to know that if we are a Christian nation, our kings, our president should be helping to protect the Christians and protect the work of God and promote the work of God. If you know the history of Britain and America, all our presidents wanted to spread the gospel. And that's why in all the foreign countries, India, Africa, and some other places, the British people came, American people came, and established the churches. And many, many, many people came to Christ. Thank God today, even though our government is not promoting Christianity, God is doing it. All the Muslim countries, hundreds and thousands of people are coming to Christ. The people from Syria running to somewhere for their safety. And I heard millions of people coming to Christ, becoming Christian. They're thinking Muslim religion is not helping. They are killing us. Let's come to Christ. So all these crises, people are coming to Jesus Christ. So we should be thankful. All these heathen kings help Israeli people. Let's pray. Shall we rise? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Our eyes is not on our government. Our eyes is on Jesus Christ, who supplies our needs, who protects us, who heals us, and who gives us eternal life. Let each and every member of the body of Christ around the world call upon Jesus, win the souls for Christ, because Jesus Christ is coming for his bride, coming for his people. Lord Jesus, give us grace and protect your people from all the dangers and harms. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.